coupon when you spend $25 or more on select items throughout the store and at jcp.com. Hurry in. These deals can't be beat. JCPenney.
Coupon valid 11/8 to 11/12. Offers represent savings on regular or original prices while supplies last. Some exclusions apply. See store jcp.com for details.
At Discover, we believe anniversaries should be a time of celebration, not obligation. That's why we think annual fees are ridiculous. And now, just for giving us a try, we're going to give new card members a one-year anniversary gift they'll never forget. At the end of your first year, we'll match all the cash back you've earned dollar for dollar. No caps and no catches, because we know if you try us, you'll like us. And that's worth every penny. Try it and believe it at discover.com/match. Cashback match offer only for new card members. Limitations apply.
Radio Network. Matt Stafford and the Detroit Lions snapped their three-game losing streak on Monday Night Football against those Green Bay Packers as Stafford threw for over 360 yards and a pair of touchdowns to Marvin Jones Jr. The final from Lambeau, 30-17. The NFL announcing Monday that Bucs wide receiver Mike Evans has been suspended one game for launching himself at Saints defensive back Marshon Lattimore in the third quarter of Tampa's 30-10 blowout loss in New Orleans. And more bad news for Tampa. They're shutting down quarterback Jameis Winston for at least 2 weeks, hoping the condition of his injured throwing shoulder improves. Third-year pro sat out the second half on Sunday. Now elsewhere, Giants head coach Ben McAdoo says the team is not making a move at the quarterback position, at least this week. He told reporters that Eli Manning will remain the starter, but says that doesn't mean that at some point the team won't take a look at working in another quarterback. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
It's time to start your weekend early with the return of Thursday Night Football on NBC.
How special is this?
Whether it's a boys' night out in Dallas.
Into the end zone.
Unbelievable.
Catching some improv from Seattle's finest.
That'll make a few highlight reels tonight.
Or painting the town red in Atlanta.
This place is rocking now.
Wow.
Start your weekend early when Thursday Night Football returns to NBC. It all begins November 9th with Seahawks Cardinals.
Computer, execute 12.4p operation.
Optimizing algorithm. Running encryption packet alpha. Night. Oh, I don't feel so good.
What? What is it, computer?
Is it hot in here? It feels hot in here. I feel a little clammy. I should lie down or something.
A computer with a virus? Surprising. What's not surprising? How much you could save by switching to GEICO.
Those oysters Rockefeller were a mistake.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
5:04, welcome back and welcome in the Tuesday edition of the Todd Rollkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way. 106.3, 107.5 are FM frequencies in Iowa City and Cedar Rapids, and 1600 AM our historic main gym frequency heard all across eastern Iowa. Remember, if you have a hard time hearing us because the sun is going down now much earlier, you can always tune in online as well, KGYMRadio.com. And for our Iowa City listeners, those of you who enjoy joining us at the Coach's Corner Sports Pub on Fridays for KGYM road trips driven by Linder Tire, just a note, we will not be at the Coach's Corner on Friday, and that's partly due to the Iowa City West football game. And we'll be doing the post-game show from the studios here in the southwest side of Cedar Rapids as well. So we hope to return to Coach's Corner next week for the KGYM road trip. Again, a big thank you to LinderTire.com. Remember, as the seasons change from fall to winter, you should probably have your tires on your mind. LinderTire.com, check it out. They've got some great coupon specials right now. If you visit, you can also go and shop in person, Grinnell, North Liberty, and Iowa City. We're going to hear from Oklahoma State coach Mike Gundy. We're going to hear from Washington State coach Mike Leach. Lots of great audio coming up for you, including coaches' cuts from Kirk Ferentz at the bottom of this hour. But we're going to bring on Mitch Sherman from ESPN.com. My apologies, I didn't see him in Iowa City earlier today. But Mitch, you were at the game on Saturday night. Are you moving to Iowa City? Is there something that I don't know?
Yeah, it's just back and forth between my home base in Omaha and Iowa City, and now I'm bouncing up to Madison for a couple days before I'll be in Madison and in this part of Wisconsin for the rest of the week. So I can finally camp down in one spot for more than a night. But yeah, I was back in Iowa City today for player interviews and Kirk Ferentz, and Hawkeyes are quite a story after that performance on Saturday.
Now, I saw you on Saturday. I didn't get a chance to say hi, but I want to know, what were your expectations coming into that game on Saturday? And then in your own words, what did you see Saturday night?
Well, my expectations, having seen Ohio State a few weeks before at Nebraska, were that the Buckeyes would do something similar to Iowa. Now, not a 40-point win, but I thought, you know, three touchdowns for Ohio State was reasonable. I thought that JT Barrett the week prior against Penn State validated himself as a legitimate Heisman candidate and as a guy who had overcome some of the problems from early this year, some of the problems that he's had early in his career against good defenses. And I could not have been more wrong about everything that I thought I knew regarding Ohio State. And for that matter, Iowa. You know, Iowa to me looked like a pedestrian offense, a team at times that couldn't get out of its own way, that couldn't put together a full 60 minutes in more than one phase of the game. And Iowa picked a great time to play by far its best game of the year. And coming out of it, my impressions were, man, you know, when these guys get it together, these guys being the Hawkeyes, they really have something. And there is obviously talent on this team. We knew that. But now we know that Iowa is capable of putting it together. And it's exciting to think about what Nate Stanley has in store for Iowa and Iowa fans over the next couple of years. Because all he did was go out and throw five touchdowns in that game. The way they're using their tight ends looks like vintage Iowa. You know, what a game that Brian Ferentz called. And the defense stepped up and played very well after maybe the first drive or two for the Buckeyes. So, you know, I have high expectations for Iowa going to Wisconsin that they can go 2 weeks in a row of blowing the Big Ten playoff hopes right out of the water.
What was Urban Meyer's demeanor like on Saturday night after that loss?
Very short. Seemed to be somewhat confused about things. Just kind of sour to the whole situation. You know, he's not used to losing, and he's definitely not used to losing by 31 points, although that did happen against Clemson last year in the playoffs, so maybe there's a trend going on. But no, I mean, it was unusual. You know, Urban Meyer is not often at a loss for words, and there were a couple of questions that he was asked, and not unfair questions, just regular questions where he didn't have anything to say, just shrugged his shoulders, instead of giving at least one answer. So I think his entire press conference lasted 3.5 minutes, and then that was just basically the end of it. There was nothing more to be said.
Mitch, we had your colleague from ESPN.com, Adam Rittenberg, on the program yesterday, so I'll ask you the same question. Is Wisconsin essentially the Big Ten's best hope for the college football playoff at this point?
Yeah, I would say only hope. At this point, Ohio State, after losing by that margin at Iowa and the performance early in the year against Oklahoma, you know, still remains the most likely contender for participant in the Big Ten championship game out of the East. But I don't see really any scenario out there that Ohio State can get itself back into the college football playoff discussion. And Penn State, with two losses, needs help, quite a bit of help, just to get into the Big Ten championship game. So unless the Nittany Lions can find a way through the work of others to do that, and then pull off a win against undefeated Wisconsin, this is not 2 years ago, then you can count Penn State out. And, you know, Michigan State, I think, has probably doesn't have the resume to make it as a two-loss team either. So that leaves only the Badgers, and they have very, very slim margin for error. One loss by Wisconsin en route to Indy or in Indy is enough to eliminate them, too. Maybe a year... Maybe very well looking at a year without the Big Ten in the playoff.
The 2016 Badgers, we were talking about how difficult their schedule was and commending them for kind of weathering that schedule. The 2017 Badgers, a lot of people are jumping on the fact that they have not played a difficult schedule. And the question has been brought up around the national landscape. And I'll ask you this question. Is there any way that an undefeated Wisconsin team that wins the Big Ten championship gets left out of the college football playoff?
Yeah, no, I don't think there is. I think an undefeated Power 5 champ is going to get in over a one-loss Power 5 champ, unless maybe it were Alabama and Georgia as a one-loss champ out of the SEC. And, you know, that's one spot. Notre Dame could get a spot with one loss ahead of Wisconsin. But, The Big 12 is going to have a champion with a loss. The Pac-12 is going to have a champion with a loss. The ACC, if it's not Miami, is going to have a champion with a loss. And even if it is Miami as an undefeated team, you know, that's potentially three spots there, even if Notre Dame makes it. So, no, I think there really is not a scenario. I can't envision one where Wisconsin at 13-0 is left out of the playoff because, you know, by that time, regardless of what the schedule says right now, by that time, Wisconsin will have beaten Michigan and will have beaten the champion of the East, which, you know, despite the two losses, or could even be three losses by that time, is going to be a ranked opponent. So not the resume that you would have thought the Big Ten champ or an undefeated Big Ten champ would have going into the season, but still good enough to make the top four.
Mitch Sherman of ESPN.com joining us. You are Nebraska-based, so I'll ask you this. Was the loss to Northwestern this past weekend just another nail in Mike Riley's coffin?
Yeah, I think the coffin was pretty much nailed shut. I you know, I don't know how much it matters at this point. You know, Nebraska can go to Minnesota and lose this week. It will go to Penn State likely and lose next week, come home against Iowa and lose to end the regular season. And I don't know that any of it makes that much of a difference or any difference at all as far as what Mike Riley's fate is at this point. It seems that with the new athletic director in town and the way that everything has played out this year and will play out over the next 3 weeks, the way that this team is playing, the way that some of the apathy around the program, that all signs are pointing toward a change being made the week of Thanksgiving or the next day after Black Friday.
We mentioned your colleague Adam Rittenberg earlier. He was on the show yesterday, and he said that he expects the University of Florida to take a major run after UCF Scott Frost. What would the reaction of the Nebraska fan base be if Florida beats Nebraska to the punch on Scott Frost?
Yeah, dismay, despair, sadness. Scott Frost, being the homegrown Nebraska hero and the guy who returned from Stanford to lead Nebraska to a championship in Tom Osborne's final year 20 years ago, and the success that he's had now as a head coach, as a coordinator, as an assistant coach, the coaches with whom he has worked at the NFL level, at the college level, Nebraska fans have him pegged as choice 1, 1A, 1B, whatever it might be. Anything other than Scott Frost at this point as a replacement for Mike Riley is going to disappoint a fairly large segment of the Nebraska fan base. So beating Nebraska to the punch, I don't know if that's the way that it can happen or will happen with Florida and Scott Frost. I think if Scott Frost ends up going to Florida, it's not because Florida cut loose Jim McElwain in October. It's because he sees Florida as a better job and impossible to turn down for what is a risky situation at Nebraska. I think Florida can sell itself on everything that it has going for it, from the recruiting base to the conference to just the entire infrastructure in that program, and be viewed as a better job. I don't think the timing so much is a big issue here. He knows what Nebraska has, and if he's choosing between the two schools, it may end badly for Nebraska, but I don't think it will end badly because Florida made that early move with his coach.
Mitch, who's your Heisman front runner at this point? We talked with Adam yesterday, and he said it's Baker Mayfield hands down at this point after Saquon Barkley and JT Barrett's horrible, bad, not so good weekends.
Yeah, I had Baker as my front runner going into Bedlam last week. I had knocked Barkley down a notch when he was unable to get Penn State over the top against Ohio State in the second half of the game in Columbus. So previous to that, he was carrying the flag, Barkley was. But I moved Mayfield into the top spot a week ago, and needless to say, nothing that happened with the 598 yards passing and 62 points at Oklahoma State made me change my mind. It just solidified his position and probably move Barkley down another notch. I think I demoted him to third this week. And, the question is who's number two? Possibly it's Bryce Love. You know, I think that Jonathan Taylor at Wisconsin, it's getting harder and harder to ignore the freshman's numbers. So, and the fact that he plays on an undefeated team at this point, I think needs to be considered. So, but this Heisman Trophy right now, is Baker Mayfield to lose, and he has another opportunity this week against TCU to shine on a big stage.
What are your expectations with this week's college football playoff poll that we're going to see here shortly? Do you think there's going to be major changes, or who's moving up, who's moving down?
Well, I think you'll see Miami make a move up after the big win over Virginia Tech. The spot at the bottom of the top 10 was, I think, based in large part on the close games that Miami had played against inferior competition, and the Hurricanes did something about that. And then we'll have a huge opportunity this week to really move up in the rankings. So if I'm a week early on calling for Miami's promotion, which I don't think I am, then next week at this time, if the Canes are still undefeated, they will be in the top four or five. So it doesn't really matter if you're Miami and you don't make that move up. But Wisconsin could make a little bit of a jump just because of the teams ahead of it that lost in the Big Ten. I would expect the top four, though, to remain the same with Georgia, Alabama, Notre Dame, and Clemson.
Mitch, we appreciate it. And, boy, you get to see the Hawkeyes again this weekend in Madison from the Suns. But we'll talk to you later. Thank you very much.
I do. Looking forward to it. Thanks for the time.
Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com. And that should be a great game. Should be fun to watch the weather forecast develop over the next couple days. We'll leave it at that. I don't think it's going to snow, but it sounds like it's going to be cold. It sounds like it's going to be wet. And as Jeremiah Davis from the Cedar Rapids Gazette said, if you're the gambling type, maybe contemplate taking the under in that one because both teams have pretty stout defenses as well. Speaking of Iowa and Wisconsin, we heard from Kirk Ferentz in Iowa City earlier today. It's time for Coach's Cuts, brought to you by our friends at Network Computer Solutions, the missing piece to your IT puzzle. Give them a call for a consultation today, 247-7223. Here's Kirk earlier today in Iowa City.
Good afternoon. Certainly, I just take a minute to look back at Saturday's win. You know, a lot of good things that took place out there. And I think after watching the tape, really it just gets down to the staff did a good job of preparing the football team. They had a good plan, and the team certainly went out, and it's as good as we've executed all season long. So those things were really, really pleasing. Talked about execution pretty much just about every week, and it was obviously the best we've played in terms of cleaning things up, eliminating mistakes, and I thought the guys played with confidence, and that was not only our seniors but also even our true freshmen, redshirt freshmen. So it was a positive step for sure. And for us to play good football and be a good football team, we're going to have to play cohesively like that. We'll certainly need that to meet the challenge we face up at Camp Randall this week. So as we transition into the game with Wisconsin, it seems like every time you play them, you're playing a really good football team. That's certainly the truth this year. They're undefeated, well-deserved, and they've got an outstanding football team.
How impressed have you been with just the development of Nate Saban?
Well, yeah, I mean, not much I can say. You know, the biggest thing I've said all along is I've been really most impressed with how he's handled the bumps. You know, when things go wrong, it doesn't seem to rock his world. I'm sure it does internally, but, he doesn't show that. And then, most importantly, he comes back and plays on the next play. And it's tough. That's a tough position for him, but it's fragile. And any position is, but that one especially, because everybody's got an opinion about what he does and how he plays. So he's really got an ability just to stay focused on what's important, and he's made some really big plays for us already. So it's impressive, and I think he's shown his mettle and his toughness too, his physical toughness, mental toughness, to play that position, and be respected by your teammates. That's you better have those attributes working for you.
His recruiting seemed really uncluttered. He's not a social media guy. Did he just drop out of the heavens into your lap? Because that's your guy, right?
I remember him coming to camp, and we really liked him. And, I sat down with he and his dad. And I guess sometimes I'm too subtle. So they said, does he know that you offered him? I said, well, I think he does. So I ran out to the car and said, by the way, that was an offer. Okay, I said we want you, which to me that's what that means. If I say we want you, then we want you. So anyway, I made sure we were clear on that point.
Can you describe the development of Noah and TJ at the tight end position and kind of the mismatch that they provided in what we saw against Ohio State?
Yeah, it's really two different kind of stories. Noah came in as we played him last year. Not excessively, but he played and got his feet wet a little bit. We thought he'd be playing a pretty prominent role this year, at least have an opportunity to, and made a couple good plays, but a real big third down conversion in our last game out there in Kinnick last year. So we saw him grow during the course of the year physically and just in terms of comfort, what have you. And I think that's carried over into this season. So, you know, his work on the field last year, even though it was wasn't extensive, I think it helped move him forward. Then TJ, on the other hand, was a guy a little bit more raw when he got here. We really liked what we saw of him in recruiting, not only in the football field, the basketball court. But last year he was on the scout team and caught our eye a bunch over there too. So I'm making a lot of plays against our defense, frustrating them at times. So, he was progressing in a different realm. And then it's just did a really nice job in spring, did a good job in bowl prep last year. And throughout camp, you know, we just saw him keep moving up. So, you know, it's a little bit different story with both guys, but they both have impacted our team in a positive way and certainly made a big impact the other night. The one question we had on TJ, really, the first time we saw him was just, you know, we don't know if he's a physical guy or not. He's playing more out of the box, if you would, as a receiver and playing pretty deep on defense, and a good basketball player. But we didn't know if he had a feel for the physical part of it, and he certainly brings that aspect out there. So, you know, I think both those guys are really, really doing a nice job.
Coach, you mentioned talk a lot about execution. I think everyone is still just kind of wondering how Saturday happened and how everything came together. Is execution as simple as it is, or was there something else that was kind of that you noticed?
Yeah, I kind of talked about this the other night. You know, it really gets down to your people and your what you're doing, I think, you know. So the people involved and then what it is you're asking them to do. And, you know, maybe I'm an optimist, but I've always believed in our people and the people we have on the field right now, the people coaching them and what we're asking them to do. I believe in that. So, you know, there's no guarantee it ever is going to, you know, push through, or you're going to get up over the hill. And then once you do, you know, there might be a bigger hill. It's kind of like, you know, we won a game Saturday, but we got a bigger hill to climb this week. So, you just keep, that's all I know to do. You just keep going out and you keep working and trying to get better in practice every day. Hopefully there's a cumulative effect, but there's no guarantee when it's going to happen or if it's going to happen. So at least we showed some progress the other night. Hopefully that'll excite the guys a little bit and that, hey, you know, we can do this if we really, you know, zero in and concentrate. So just a lot of little subtle things. You know, we did a good job at the snap count and we got them to jump and we didn't jump, you know, which I wish I could tell you. We did that in practice every day. We don't always do that so well. I mean, we had some ugly plays on Friday morning in practice. So, you know, again, it's not like, you know, we walked off the field Friday and said, okay, we got it now. You know, that wasn't the case at all. But, you know, just it came together there. But now, you know, it's a whole new challenge now. It's a new week and a new challenge, and we'll see how we do.
That's Coach's Cuts, brought to you by Network Computer Solutions, hardware sales and service, server and workstation upgrades and installation, disaster recovery. You name it, they can handle it. Again, the number, if you need their services, 247-7223. Hour number two of the Todd Brommelkamp Show is going to continue on after this. We'll talk about last night. I don't want to say talk about. We're going to take a look at Green Bay and where the Packers are after last night's loss to the Lions, an embarrassing loss at Lambeau Field, to say the least. And one man really does make a team in some instances. I am, of course, talking about the new Houston Texans backup quarterback, Josh Johnson, who hasn't taken a snap since 2013, not Aaron Rodgers. LowTUSA.com is a website that you need to check out if you're not feeling like your old self. I know I get a little repetitive with this from day to day, but as a guy, we all get older, and as we age, lots of things change. You're no longer the single guy hanging out at the bar every night. You've got a family, a wife at home, kids. You ever just look in the mirror and wonder where your old self went? Wouldn't you give anything to feel a little bit more energy, have a little bit more of your memory capacity back? A lot of things that we lose as we get older can possibly be traced back to our testosterone levels. I don't want to play Bill Nye science guy here, but everybody's got testosterone in their body. If you're a guy, you just have different levels of it. Some of us are born with lots of it, some of us not so much. But one of the common things is as we get older, testosterone usually doesn't go up, it goes down. Now there is a way to take care of that. It's 90% effective regardless of what your health is. Mentality USA, a local health clinic located in North Liberty, right between Cedar Rapids and Iowa City, could be for you. It's covered by insurance. You're going to be dealing with board-certified physicians, And it is the coolest doctor's office you're probably ever going to go to and spend time at in your life. LowTUSA.com is the website to check out. You can learn all about Mantality. You can even make your first appointment today. LowTUSA.com and Mantality. More of the Todd Brolkamp Show on the way after this.
A piece of cake. A Sunday morning. ABC. Those are easy. So is earning the power rate and ATM refunds with Power Checking at Midwest One Bank. 9 out of 10 new users of Power Checking say they recommend it because it's easy to qualify and easy to use. Don't settle for free checking when you can earn the power rate with Power Checking at Midwest One. Open your account at MidwestOne.com today. Qualifications apply. Maximum $15 in ATM fee refunds per qualification cycle. Member FDIC.
Football is a fast and rough and tumble game. In many ways, it's a lot like your business. You need the right game plan and team to win in business. Network Computer Solutions is your bench when it comes to the tech issues that can make the difference between winning and losing. Call NCS at 247-7223, 247-7223, and put them on your IT team. NCS is your big-time IT department at a fraction of the cost. Network Computer Solutions, they're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
527, welcome back in, almost to the halfway point of the Todd Brolkamp Show with Alex Kuhn tonight. A big thank you to Mitch Sherman of ESPN.com for joining us, as well as Jeremiah Davis of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Podcast will be available after the show, kgymradio.com. Right now, let's send it over to Kyle Mann. He's got your Midwest One Bank Big Board update for the hour. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Kirk Ferentz spoke with the media today in Iowa City and shared some unfortunate news. Safety Brandon Snyder, who made a miraculous comeback from an ACL tear over the summer, tore the same ACL during the Illinois game and will have season-ending surgery this week. Ferentz said the team will try, but didn't sound particularly optimistic that a medical redshirt would be in the cards. Josh Jackson received another weekly honor today following his stellar three-pick performance against Ohio State last Saturday. This time it's the Chuck Bednarik Award, National Defensive Player of the Week. He got the Walter Camp National Distinction yesterday, and his one-handed pick in the fourth quarter was also ESPN's top play on Saturday night. It doesn't stop there, however. The Hawkeyes were named the Team of the Week yesterday by the Writers Association. Today, Kirk Ferentz was named the Dodd Trophy Coach of the Week. His defense held Ohio State to 22 points and 200 yards under their yearly averages, and his offense produced 37 points and 185 yards over Ohio State's yearly allowances. We've got to give a shout-out to Iowa native, former Hawkeye, and friend of the station, Cal Eldred, who today was promoted to be the Kansas City Royals pitching coach. Eldred played in the majors for 14 years and has served for the past two seasons as a player development assistant in the Royals organization. Some state volleyball action today. Cedar Falls swept Urbandale. Number 5 Linmar swept number 4 Cedar Rapids Jefferson, and Dubuque Hempstead was also swept by Ankeny Centennial. After the show today, there's no baseball, no football, no anything. So we're going to pass off our airwaves to the mothership for some ESPN programming.
If there were baseball today, that would be a tremendous story. We would bring you some...
That'd be breaking news.
Arizona Fall League action or something. They're still playing down there. The minor league guys are going. That's tremendous news for Cal Eldred. I know he really wanted that job. Probably not tremendous news for the gym class. Did he officially pull the plug? I was busy doing some other things today, as many of you know by now.
I think that he said that he wouldn't be able to do a weekly segment.
Yeah, that's kind of what
I'm
thinking.
Maybe from time to time he'd drop in.
Major league pitching coach, it's kind of hard to keep that.
Yes, it is.
Keep that commitment. We've got a poll question for you today at KGYMradio.com. Should Brandon Snyder get a medical hardship waiver, yes or no? As we mentioned, Kirk Ferentz today in Iowa City saying that he is done for the remainder of the season. He's going to have 1 year of eligibility remaining, and they're not too optimistic that they can get a second year of eligibility back for him at this point. Yes or no, it's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. They're on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. Monday night football last night. We're going to get into the results of the game coming up in just a few minutes. Detroit, which, as I said last night, typically does not perform very well at Lambeau Field, went into the Packers' house and completely embarrassed Green Bay in front of its own fans and, quite frankly, a number of Lions fans as well. If you want to go see a Packers game, now is the time to do it, because I have a feeling tickets are going to be relatively easy to come by. Aaron Rodgers was there. He's just on the sideline. He's not playing, and I wouldn't play him at all this year if the Packers are out of playoff contention by the time that he thinks he can come back. We're going to dive in to, is Aaron Rodgers really the only thing keeping Green Bay from being as miserable a team as we saw last night? Next.
This bottom of the hour Sports Center update is brought to you by Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement. They're celebrating 14 years of service.
Hi, I'm Steve Anderson. Since I grew up 10 minutes from Kinnick Stadium, I've been obsessing over Iowa athletics since birth. Hawkeye teams stand for maximum effort on every play. We founded Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services on some of those same principles. Provide efficient, high-quality real estate title and closing services, whether you're buying or selling a commercial property or buying your first home. We'll also make it a pleasant and fun transaction. Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services, 568 Highway 1 West in Iowa City. The team you love, the people you trust.
A new original series tonight, 10, 9 Central, only on USA. ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. At this hour, former Major League pitcher Roy Halladay died today when his single-engine plane crashed into the Gulf of Mexico. Halladay won one Cy Young in Toronto and another in Philadelphia. He also threw a perfect game in May of 2010 and a no-hitter 3 months later that postseason, both with the Phillies. He's one of five pitchers in MLB history to win multiple Cy Youngs and throw multiple no-hitters. Roy Halladay was 40 years old. NBA guard Eric Bledsoe, unhappy in Phoenix, is heading to Milwaukee. Bucks acquired Bledsoe from the Suns for center Greg Monroe and protected 2018 first and second round picks. Major upgrade for the Bucks, believes ESPN's Scottie Pippen.
An outside shooter, a guy who can take last second shots, I think he makes them that much more stronger because teams tend to now pack back. They want to defend Giannis from the paint. Now with Bledsoe, you put the ball in his hands. Now you leave Giannis free to roam and do other things. They're a team to be reckoned with.
The plan is for Bledsoe to join the Bucks tomorrow in San Antonio. Second college football playoff rankings of the season released top of the hour on ESPN TV.
Get a large two-topping Pizza Hut pizza for just $7.99 when you order online. It's the best pizza delivery deal out there. No one out-pizzas the Hut. Click for this offer. Delivery minimums and fees may apply. Additional charge for extra cheese and stuffed crust. Product availability, prices, participation, and delivery areas may vary. The delivery charge is not a driver tip.
What could be better than watching your team defeat their rival? Celebrating the victory with Larceny Wheated Bourbon. Award-winning Larceny Bourbon is made with more wheat for a smoother taste. It's hand-selected by our master distillers from the finest barrels for a true small-batch bourbon. Get caught in the act. Unlock the smoothness of Larceny Bourbon today. Larceny Bourbon, Bardstown, Kentucky. 46% alcohol by volume. Think wisely, drink wisely.
From the co-executive producer of Game of Thrones.
My friends, there are devils out there.
And the producer and director of Logan.
We are at war. Between the people that live in this country and those that mean to control it.
In a battle between rich and poor. Brother versus brother.
You're gonna save my poor mortal soul.
No, I'll kill you and drag you to hell with
me. Damnation, a new original series. Tonight, 10, 9 Central, only on USA.
Time for an oil change? At Advance Auto Parts, we have everything you need all in one place. Our knowledgeable team members are ready to answer all your questions, and they'll help you find the oil filter that's right for your car. We'll also recycle your used motor oil absolutely free. In fact, last year we recycled over 5.5 million gallons, continuing our commitment to being a green retailer. Go to Advance or participating CarQuest Auto Parts stores. Advance Auto Parts, where oil is priced like it should be. Recycling not available in California.
Calling all contractors, announcing the Ferguson and Ram Commercial Ultimate Van Giveaway. We're handing over the keys to a 2018 Ram Commercial ProMaster van stacked so high with brand name tools, you'll be glad you've got that 76 inches of cargo height. We'll even brand it for you, so there'll be no doubt who's riding in style. Worth over 100,000 big ones, enter at ferguson.com/ramvangiveaway. Hear that? That's opportunity honking.
No purchase necessary. For official rules and eligibility details, visit ferguson.com/ramvangiveaway.
5:36, welcome back in. We are officially on the back half of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn tonight. 106.3, 107.5 FM, 1600 AM with you until 7 o'clock. And then it is Onward Christian Soldiers with ESPN programming until local programming returns tomorrow with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes. Todd Brommelkamp alongside Alex Kuhn and our producer Kyle Mann. Programming note to pass along, the Iowa City West playoff game from the Unidome on Friday is now going to be carried on all three of KGYM's frequencies. That game kicks off at 4 o'clock from Cedar Falls. Alex is going to be on the call, and there will be no Todd Brommelkamp Show that day. For those of you just joining the program, my grandmother passed away today at the age of 93, and the wake will be Friday from 4 to 7, and I'm going to be previously occupied that day. So no local programming beyond the gym class on Friday. And that's why we're treating Thursday's program as if it were a Friday show. So we're going to be previewing Iowa and Wisconsin and hopefully talking with Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com as well as former Iowa wide receiver Kevin Casper, still trying to work out some of the details and moving some pieces around. Sad day for me, happy day for somebody else. So I want to pass along our congratulations here to a guy who means a lot to all three of us on this program. And he's a pretty big guy. There's enough of him to go around, and that's Matt Weitzel at the University of Iowa Sports Information Department. Matt got engaged and also bought a house. And as I told him earlier today, why not take care of all of life's major decisions in one fell swoop? So congratulations, Matt, and we wish you and Carrie all the best. And they're working out details for the wedding. And not saying we need to get an invite or anything, but maybe we'll chip in. I think we've got some 1992 baseball cards left.
We have some hats in there, too.
Tyler, and some old baseball hats. We can put together a care package and send it along.
Are we out of Circus Peanuts? You think that would entice him?
The original run is gone, and then someone bought some more as a joke and put them in the on Scott Schulte's desk from Z102.9 because they heard on this show that he's the only guy in the building who likes them. As a matter of fact, when he was a young kid, he ate them until he, as they would say on the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest on the 4th of July, had a reversal when he was a young man.
Until he puked.
Yeah, pretty much.
I did that with Skittles one time. It was not good.
Oh, so you tasted the rainbow, and then the rainbow tasted you.
Correct.
Yeah.
I haven't. See, it was about 5 years later Skittle.
I had my sugar and carb cravings today, and I think that's pretty much going to turn me off from wanting to have anything. So there you go. I actually, going back to Tyler's old baseball cards, I had a nice conversation with my former co-host today. It had nothing to do with a legal battle over any of the things that we do here. I didn't even bring up the bad Halloween candy tournament that they did on his radio station and my hurt feelings over the fact that I got zero credit for what I believe is to be one of the only great ideas that I've ever had in my life. But I had a conversation with him today. We talked a little bit about the Ric Flair 30 for 30. That's going to be on ESPN tonight. I know a lot of people have been looking forward to that. And he says hello to everybody. I know he was very pleased to hear that people are still asking questions about his whereabouts. And he informed me that he is going to be headed back to the state of Iowa sometime in the next 2 months for a work trip. Those of you who follow Iowa State basketball probably know what I'm talking about. They play Tennessee. And so he's going to be in Cedar Rapids at some point in January, and we're making plans to get together. I bought him. Remember when he left, he gave us gifts, parting gifts?
Yes.
And I feel bad because I don't remember what he got me.
I don't either, actually.
But I think it was something.
Maybe he didn't get me anything. Ow. Ouch.
He got me something nice, and it was so nice now that I can't remember what it is. And if he's listening, he's probably going to kill me. But I came across something. And it's going to arrive at his house on Thursday. And I don't know whether he's going to think it's the greatest gift that anybody has ever gotten him or if he's going to think that this is a troll job. And if he wants to send it back, all I'm going to say is if he wants to send it back, it's going to cost him about $60 to ship it back to the place where I purchased it from. It's very large.
Oh, it's something that you purchased.
I did, yes. It's very large, and it wasn't terribly expensive, but then you had the shipping on, and it's not. And he's been worried about this for a really long time. He thought I was going to make a... I got an email one time because I did make a custom bobblehead of my first former co-host, Brent Balbinot, who's now the voice of the Toledo Rockets.
And it's still on your desk.
It's beautiful. Tyler was very worried that when he left, I was going to immortalize him in bobblehead. And I said, no, I did that already one time. I'm not going to do that again. But we did get an email one time about four, I think they were 4 feet tall bobbleheads. And so I think he's thinking maybe I made a 4 foot tall bobblehead of him and sent it to him, but I did not. Anyway, that's a roundabout way of saying that Tyler is very pleased to know that everybody still thinks of him here in Eastern Iowa, and he sends his very best, and we'll be touching base with him when he returns, I think, in a couple months for that Tennessee-Iowa State game.
Now, you said it's something that you purchased for him. It's not something that somebody else purchased for him that maybe he didn't take?
No.
Okay, so
no.
It's not a blatant troll job. It's just...
No. And I felt bad about this. I sent him some cigars, and it's just a well-meaning gesture. I was... Mantality gave me a little bit of a thank you gift for my part in their advertising campaign here. And in that crate were a couple cigars. And I don't normally smoke cigars except for occasionally when I'm on the golf course. That's about the only time that I enjoy them. And so they weren't going to be good for next golf season. So I packaged them up. I went to the post office, used the self-serve kiosk. Okay, I've got a package here. Do you accept the weight? Yada, yada, yada. And I don't hear anything from him for like 2 weeks. And I'm thinking, God, he's ungrateful. You send a guy a couple very nice cigars, and I don't even get a thank you. They were still at the post office because they needed $1.87 of extra postage, and we were both upset about it. He's upset that he had to go to the post office to pick it up and pay for it, and I was upset about it because that's what you get for using the self-service kiosk, I guess, at the post office. That's neither here nor there. I am so remiss in my duties, because we've been rambling on about nonsense here for about 8 minutes.
Are you trying to avoid talking about the Packers?
Trying to avoid talking about what happened last night at Lambeau Field. Prior to last night, Detroit had only won once there since 1992, and their 1-24 record was the worst 25-game span of any NFL team against another opponent in their building of all time. And they went in last night behind Matthew Stafford and a couple touchdowns from Marvin Jones, which unfortunately upset my fantasy football hopes of a clean sweep this weekend. Thank you very much. And they embarrassed the Packers 30-17 last night. Brett Hundley is not getting the job done. And I want to be clear about this. A couple of weeks ago, I was a proponent, not vocally, because I don't like talking about it on this program because people are just so... they've got their heels so dug in on Colin Kaepernick on one side or the other. But I firmly believe that Colin Kaepernick would be a better option than Brett Hundley, whom the Packers are putting out there and who stands in the pocket for 12 seconds when there's 6 seconds worth of protection. And he did it at UCLA. They showed it last night on the broadcast. John Gruden was like, look, this guy's been doing it since he was at UCLA.
Yes.
He stays in the pocket. He holds on to the ball too long.
That's why he dropped from a potential first-round pick to a fifth-round pick.
And the grand plan here by the Packers is to showcase him and maybe turn him into the next Jimmy Garoppolo. Well, that's not going to happen. But I'm telling you right now, I'm officially off the Colin Kaepernick train as of last night, and here's why. One person's not going to make that team any better. The only person who possibly could do that is the guy who was on the sideline last night in a parka and a stocking cap, and he's the one with the broken collarbone. I cannot believe, and this is, again, underscoring why the NFL is struggling. In my opinion, it has nothing to do with the national anthem and what players are doing during or before it. It has to do with the fact that the quality of play is not very good. And no team epitomizes that more than my Green Bay Packers. Because when they've got Aaron Rodgers on the field, they are fun to watch. Even people who don't like the Packers could probably look at them and admit, hey, that's a fun offense. They're putting up points all over the place. You take one guy off that team, and they look like a bottom feeder. And that's the state of the NFL today. There just is not a lot of great talent. It's spread out. And unfortunately, there are a lot of mediocre to just plain awful football teams where if they suffer one injury to the key player, they circle the drain. How far off base am I? 319-366-1600.
Not at all. And in this case, with the Green Bay
Packers... That's why he's a great co-host.
No, I had said this for about a year. And I said that I made this... I remember on Love It or Leave It one time when you were out of town and it was Tyler and I. I talked about the fact that Aaron Rodgers is the guy that if I am starting a franchise with any quarterback, he's the guy. He has the kind of star power that LeBron James has in the NBA. He is a guy that can single-handedly carry a player or a team to the playoffs. And when you get a player like that, I believe Peyton Manning was like that as well during his career. When they get injured, you realize how bad of a team and how bad the front office has done in building a team around that player. You saw it with the one-win season when Curtis Painter was the quarterback when Peyton Manning went out. That would have been 2011. And now you're seeing it with the Green Bay Packers. They are awful. Not just offensively. Their defense isn't very good either.
Dom Capers, I know, has a very long track record and has been a successful coach in the National Football League for a very long time. I think a lot of Packers fans are in the same boat as I am. It's time for a change. It may be time for a change in that front office, and there are even fans out there that say it's time for a change with the head coach. This all goes, but one that you can't put your team in a position where it relies on one player, because when you lose that one player, you have the absolute garbage that was that game last night. And then I got to watch Brian Bulaga, a guy that I like from covering him at the University of Iowa, I got to watch him suffer another ACL injury last night, too. It was just another gut punch.
If I'm Ted Thompson and I'm Mike McCarthy, I am feeling very uneasy right now, because I look back at the aforementioned Colts from 2011 and see that they were 2 years removed from the Super Bowl. And when they won one game without Peyton Manning that year, what happened after that season? Jim Caldwell fired. Bill Poley and the general manager fired. This was Bill Polian, the one who drafted Peyton Manning and built the team around him and had been there for over a decade at the time. He got fired because people realized how bad the team was around him. So Mike McCarthy, Ted Thompson, this is kind of pulling the mask back on the team that you have built around Aaron Rodgers. And when the critics are out there saying that you're wasting Aaron Rodgers' core years, or his prime years, because you aren't doing enough around him, those critics are not going anywhere, because Brett Hundley and this experiment right now, over the next however many games of the season, is going to show that.
319-366-1600. It's the Hurtine and Stocker text line. It's also the number you're going to want to keep handy, because we do have tickets to the Hairball concert. I have erred, by the way. Yesterday I said the concert was this Saturday. It's actually next Saturday, the 18th, according to the information I have in front of me. But you still do need to pick these up with us, because we just want to make sure that, much like the cigars in Knoxville, Tennessee, they're not sitting at the post office for 2 weeks needing you to come pick them up. I am going, look, I don't know what to expect here. I'm going to pull the pin on this grenade. I'm going to keep the grenade in my hand. And if this goes awry, I'm going to launch it. But let's go to the phone lines. Don in Center Point wants to talk about the NFL and specifically something related to Colin Kaepernick. Don, do not make me regret bringing you on the program tonight. What's up?
Well, I'm just disagreeing with you. I think some guy's not showing respect to the flag. I had two boys in the service, and I think they should, show respect to the flag. If they want to protest, I'd just assume they do it a different way.
Yeah, like a somewhere where you can't see it, right? Where it's less visible, right? And that's why I said, look, oops.
Did we even say anything about the flag?
The grenade just blew my hand off. Look, by the way, Colin Kaepernick is...
Didn't you just say that you didn't think that he would be able to save the Packers?
Yeah, I just did. And
you said that you didn't think that they should bring him in?
By the way, and before we move on, Don, thank you and your two sons. Thank your two sons for their service to this country, and I do mean that from the bottom of my heart. But that being said... What's going on? And I said we weren't going to talk about this ever again on the program, and I'm not the one who opened Pandora's box tonight. I want to be very clear about that. But again, people have co-opted this, they have taken it, and they have turned it into a narrative that it was never about from the get-go. And that was a good example of that right there. But here's all I'm going to say. Colin Kaepernick is suing through the NFL Players Association for collusion. He believes he's being kept out of the league. Blackballed would be the proper terminology. Owners are being asked to turn their phones in. This is going to be interesting to follow. The Houston Texans suffered a quarterback loss last week in Deshaun Watson. Crippling quarterback loss. And Bill O'Brien said that the team would be willing to work out Colin Kaepernick, but he hadn't played in a while. That was the knock against him. Today they signed a journeyman quarterback in Josh Johnson, who hasn't taken a snap in an NFL game since 2013. These guys are terrible liars. They can't keep their story straight. Don't say something stupid and then a day later you turn around and completely sell yourself down the river. Well, Kaepernick hasn't played in a while. Let's go sign a guy who hasn't taken a snap in 4 years. And when he did take, he took two of them.
When was the last time Matt McGloin took a snap in the NFL?
But here we are, and this is where we're at in 2017. Anytime you mention the NFL now, you get the people banging their drums, and it's all of a sudden it's a discussion about one player. And I guess everybody's going to have differing opinions on this, and I completely respect that. Doesn't mean I have to agree with you on it. But there are at least 10 things worse in the NFL right now than Colin Kaepernick. 10 bigger problems. And one of them is what I saw last night in that Lions-Packers game. I, as a fan of the Packers, I had a vested interest in that game last night. And I found myself sitting on the couch, and I asked myself at least twice, why am I watching this? There is nobody in this game right now. I even had fantasy football interest on the line last night, and I didn't want to watch the game because it wasn't a good, compelling game.
I turned it off.
It's the same reason that people won't watch the San Diego Padres play, give me another bottom feeder team.
And it's the Philadelphia Phillies.
The Phillies and the Padres. And then you're going to go out and say, ratings for that game were awful. Well, of course they were. Look at earlier in the year when the Packers still had Rodgers and they played the Cowboys. That was one of the most watched games this season. Why? Because it was exciting, because they were scoring points, because it was a good game against two good teams. This is not rocket science. I don't need to be on the space coast working for NASA to tell you what's going on here. No more NFL calls. No more Colin Kaepernick calls. Pandora's box got opened. And it's just, this is Stranger Things right now. Look what happens when the gateway gets opened. You get Stranger Things too. And then they give you a redheaded kid and they change some of the characters and you used to hate him and now you like him. And I got through Stranger Things too, by the way, earlier last week. And I highly recommend it for those of you that watch Netflix. 5:55, we're going to take a quick timeout. We come back. Kyle will have another Midwest One Bank Big Board update for you. Still to come in hour number three, we've got some interesting audio from Oklahoma State coach Mike Gundy on Matt Campbell. And also, story time with Washington State coach Mike Leach. You're not going to want to miss it. Back with more after this.
This is Iowa. Winter doesn't mean it's time to take a break. It means working smarter on your job site.
Star Equipment knows that, and they're ready to rent the gear you need for concrete curing, pipe warming, and frost prevention, along with top-notch ground-thawing equipment. Lost time means lost dollars, but the cold won't stop your project when you work with Star Equipment. They don't take a break in winter either. Star Equipment, Iowa born in 1968. StarEquip.com.
At Nationwide, our agents go above and beyond to understand and protect what matters most to you. Our local Nationwide agents are part of our member-driven community, where serving members' needs is our priority. Contact True North Personal Lines at itruenorth.com today. Nationwide is on your side. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio. Subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval.
Do I consider it somewhat of a blessing that Rodgers got hurt to show the Packers what they actually have? Ryan on the text line. You know what? I sort of do, but I've been a Packer fan long enough to know that it's not going to change anything because they're so ingrained in how they operate. It's not going to do anything to change the culture up there. That team is still going to be built around one person and one person only.
Until that one person can't play anymore.
Look, I hate to put everything in a fantasy football context. We're going to have Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com on the program with us tomorrow. But Jordy Nelson goes from a top 15 fantasy draft pick to a guy who I'd put him on the bench at this point. I'm looking for guys on the waiver wire that I think are going to have better weeks than Jordy Nelson just because Brett Hundley can't get him the ball. He's going to get sacked. So, you know, I'm going to dive into the Hurtin and Stocker text line and read your anger. I'm going to bathe in your anger because we talked about the quarterback who shouldn't have been named on this program. And while I'm doing that, Kyle's going to bring you a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Kirk Ferentz spoke with the media today in Iowa City and shared some unfortunate news. Safety Brandon Snyder, who made a miraculous comeback from an ACL tear over the summer, tore the same ACL in the Illinois game and will have season-ending surgery this week. Ferentz said the team will try, but didn't sound particularly optimistic that the medical redshirt would be in the cards. Josh Jackson received another weekly honor today following his stellar three-pick performance against Ohio State last Saturday. This time it's the Chuck Bednarik Award, National Defensive Player of the Week. He got the Walter Camp National Distinction yesterday, and his one-handed pick in the fourth was also ESPN's top play on Saturday night. It doesn't stop there, however. The Hawkeyes were named the Team of the Week yesterday by the Writers Association, and today Kirk Ferentz was named the Dodd Trophy Coach of the Week. His defense held Ohio State to 22 points and 200 yards under their yearly averages, and his offense produced 37 points and 185 yards over Ohio State's yearly allowances. We've got to give a shout-out to Iowa native, former Hawkeye, and friend of the station, Cal Eldred, who today was promoted to be the Kansas City Royals pitching coach. Eldred played in the majors for 14 years and has served for the past two seasons as a player development assistant in the Royals organization. Some state volleyball action today. Cedar Falls swept Irvindale. Number 5, Linmar swept number 4, Cedar Rapids Jefferson. And Dubuque Hempstead was swept by Ankeny Centennial. After the show today, it's been a while since we've had to say this. There's no baseball, no football. So we're just going to pass our airwaves over to the mothership for some ESPN programming.
I want to read this text before we move on because this is going to close the book here. But 22-13, I want to give you the opportunity to have your text read. Seriously, Don had a reasonable opinion about the protests that many people have, and you respond like that? He wasn't rude or disrespectful. I can see now, no matter what he said, if it differed with your opinion, you were going to overreact and blow him off. Sad. Lost a listener tonight. That's because Don said the protests were about something that they are not. Okay? Don was completely off base. And that's all I'm going to say about it, and I didn't even want to talk about it. But you can't even mention that one quarterback's name without people just getting lathered up about it. Hour number 3 on the way after this.